week about revival, and because God has started revival. And so tonight is just to help us learn how to steward what God has been doing in just a tremendous way. And I hope that you were just blessed. I know you were this past weekend over our Easter crusade, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. I have to tell you, Evangelist John was such a blessing in this church, and you guys blessed him in a tremendous way. And as I was just driving him to Atlanta, and we were kind of talking more and just giving praise about the whole weekend, you know, he honestly told me, and he says, I don't say this much, but this is, you have a true move of God on your hands. And I said, I know. I said, I kind of sense that, and I kind of feel that. But what do we do with it? You know, and this series is really our heart and my heart in asking God, what do we do with that? And so it's the same message on Sunday mornings as Sunday night. But just to be honest with you, Sunday night crowd, I love you. I love the worship time is usually longer on Sunday nights. We usually have more of a freedom to kind of flow in some things on Sunday nights. And Sunday night, I'm really going to kind of focus more on some of the leadership here, and I'm going to kind of go a little bit deeper. So Sunday nights, I don't want you to miss Sunday nights for the next few weeks, because I'm going to kind of go a little bit deeper with some of the things I shared this morning. But also, if you're just hungry, maybe if you're not even on church leadership, you're just visiting, but you're hungry, or you know somebody that just that God is touching their hearts and awakening something in their heart, bring them out, especially on Sunday nights, because we're going to go into this idea of God's going to teach us how to steward his move well. Because I believe it wasn't just a moment in a weekend, it started a movement. Amen? And when God starts moving, we need to honor that and ask God for his wisdom on how to steward that well. So that what God started this past weekend and what God has started literally actually from the very beginning of the year, that God will be able to continue it to where he completely transform a whole community. You guys believe that God can do that, right? And what God does in this house, God wants to do in your house. So God wants to transform your home. God wants to transform your home, right? All right, I'm going to get a little excited tonight, so you guys are going to have to help me out, all right? Let me just pause for a second, and let's give praise again for what God did this past weekend. 32 salvations overall. Come on, somebody. And 16 people got baptized. And listen, it was amazing. I showed the video this morning. I'm not going to show it again tonight. I'm going to put it up on the church Facebook page so you can see it there. But we had 8 of those that were planned. And forgive me if I just keep repeating this, because this just blew me away. But we had 16 end up getting baptized. Like, well, Pastor, what happened? You only had 8 that committed before the service to get baptized. Well, in the middle of the service, I remember going to some of the leadership when we had our prayer time before the service started. And I was like, God just put it in my heart to just open it up to see if any more want to get baptized. And the question came up is like, how is that going to work? They didn't bring any clothes with them. They're not ready to get baptized. And I was like, I don't know. But God put it in my heart to do it. I got to take that step of faith. And so I just laid it out there. I was like, if God has stirred up in your heart this weekend and you want to get baptized, but you didn't commit to it yet, come forward. And we had 8 more spontaneously get up out of their seats, in their clothes, come on somebody, and get baptized that Sunday morning. It was amazing. Somebody asked me, honestly, like, Pastor, be honest with you, was that planned out? And I was like, I promise you, I don't have enough wisdom or smarts to plan something out like that. That was totally a work of God working in people's hearts. And so I was just overwhelmed at that. It was just literally amazing. And all of you guys that served, and I just want to honor you guys, because, look, we did an Easter crusade at the high school. And, I mean, from beginning to end, you gave, you served, you poured your heart into it. And I said, God, just, I prayed for you, honestly. I prayed for you guys that gave and served, that God would just bless your socks off. Because there's nothing like serving in the kingdom, amen? Because we've got the best king in the whole world, amen? And my king's a giver. And so I said, God, just bless their socks off to where, like, everything they touch gets blessed now. And so don't be surprised if you get a job increase, a pay increase, or you get blessed with a car, or you just get blessed with some money that you didn't even know about. I'm praying for, and look, that would make me, nothing would make me more happy for you guys to get that. because I'm excited about it. Anybody want to receive that right now? Come on, lift up your hands. Lord, in Jesus' name, pressed down, shaken together, running over in Jesus' name. Lord, every place that they gave, that they served, every sweat drop, every tear, Lord, every invite, every flyer that they handed out, Lord, everything given back to them a hundredfold. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything that they touch, just as their soul prospers, let everything else prosper in health, in wealth, in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God thanks for what he's going to do. We had some time of honoring the different groups. I won't go into that tonight, but just so, guys, I love you so much. I love you so much. All right, let's get started with this. I want to give you this introduction, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper into who Moses was and how God revealed himself to him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, we're going to look at the story in the life of Moses to be our template, our roadmap on how God is going to give us the wisdom to steward revival. And everybody, most everybody anyway, even if you're not a constant churchgoer, knows the story of Moses and seen maybe the movies of God using Moses to free a whole Hebrew nation. You know, the whole idea of standing before the Red Sea and the seas parting. I as a little boy, anybody seen the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston? You know what I'm talking about. You know, and the wind blowing in his hair, and he's got the staff up, and the water's parting. That's just engraved in my mind every time I read the biblical account. And then him standing before Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I just reminisce for a moment. But we're going to look at the actual biblical account of Moses because it's not as glamorous as what it's seen in the movies a lot of times. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of real life that the Bible gives us about the person, the man that was chosen by God to free a whole nation of people. And I really sense this. There's destiny and purpose on this because whether you want to believe it yet or not, you're a Moses. Whether you want to believe it yet or not, you're Moses. God has put his hand on you to use you to free a whole generation. Say, well, I don't know about that. Well, then you're in the wrong church because God's hand is on this church to set a whole nation. Come on, somebody. I used to think it was just a city, but God is starting to stir up my heart for even more. Come on. I mean, just to see the last day's revival that sweeps through a whole nation. Anybody want to believe that with me? Amen? And so we find Moses here in verse 1. The Bible says he was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Now, that could be a sermon right there on its own. The priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then God responds back, do not come near. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now pause here. This is a little extra tidbit I want to give you, Sunday night crowd. Notice how the passage ends. That in this moment, the first thing that Moses did was hide his face because he was afraid to look at God. But if you know your Bible, there is something he asked specifically God to show him. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, show me your face. You see, after a time of walking with God, something that had started way back at the burning bush experience kept burning in his heart to where at one moment he hid his face, afraid to even look at God, to now he was at a place where he's asking God, God, show me your glory. Show me your face. I want to see it. It's interesting that this man had gotten to the place with God that he had the confidence to say this now. You see, some of you right now, I just honestly believe some of you right now, you would think, well, God will never use me like he's using so-and-so. I hope that you're not looking at me as saying, well, God can never use me as Pastor Chris. If you only knew. But you can maybe saying, I don't know if God can use me like so-and-so. I don't know if God could ever use me like to do those things that Pastor Chris has been talking about. But I believe even though you're at a place right now to where you're literally hiding your face from God's purpose, there's going to be a place to where you're going to begin to cry out, God, show me my purpose. I can't live any longer unless you show it to me. Are you hearing me? I just sense maybe I'm speaking to the right crowd. I don't know, but I believe God is stirring up a hunger inside of us. God, I know there's more. Even though we've seen great things happen this past weekend, God, there's got to be more. And we don't start off with a perfect revelation of what God has called us to in life. None of us do we? I mean, I think if God had showed me from the very beginning all the things that he had in his mind to use me with, it would have scared me off. I would have ran away from God. So God hid those things from us until there was time to where we began to ask. Our faith began to rise up inside of us. God, show us more of you. Show us more of you. And God's church, listen to me. God is raising it up inside of you. I look at some of you guys and I'm like, wow. Man, they're going after God. Man, they're stepping out into their purpose. Man, they're stepping out into their destiny. It's amazing. It's amazing. Can I share a quick testimony? Actually, I'm going to ask somebody else to share their quick testimony. Scotty, yes. Will you mind sharing how God healed you this morning? Come on, man. Come on. Tell us what happened. Was it when Tony prayed for you?
Yeah. My right leg's been bothering me for about a month, and it turned yellow and bruised up and swole up, and I could hardly even walk on it. So I came down this morning for prayer, and Tony prayed with me, and the pain's gone. And, I mean, I'm walking on it now, and it's like I felt something like electricity or something. Just and Tony said he even felt it, you know. But I just praise God because I've been fighting this thing for a month. I was in a hospital. They checked it. They couldn't find what it was. And so God found what it was, and he took care of it this morning.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So.
Praise God. And here's the love of God touching Scotty through Tony, who over a year ago, I don't know, Tony, you're in here. Maybe I don't think he is. I think he had to go. Over a year ago, I don't know if Tony would have stepped out on faith on that. Are you hearing me tonight? Right. But God began to burn in his heart, and Tony is a man to where he's never going to settle. He's just an ordinary man, just like you and me. Say, well, what was extraordinary about Tony? What does Tony have to give him the power to heal? Well, it's not Tony, it's Jesus. Amen. But Tony got to the place to where he was like, God, I can't settle any longer. I can't live any longer until you completely reveal yourself to me. Right. Amen. Amen. And it all started with an encounter. I know I'm speaking for Tony now, but I remember the first time Tony and Cindy came to this church. And man, they were so hungry, but they didn't even really know what they were hungry for. Right? I mean, they come into a place and like, we know there's got to be more, but we don't really know what that is. We don't know what that's like. And we didn't have to explain everything to them from the beginning. You know, how many times we have to have everything explained to us first, right? We have to figure it all out before we start moving. I have to tell you, there's very rarely in my walk of faith has everything been explained to me first. Amen? And Chris, I'm going to use you to start a church, and let me explain. The first year is going to be horrible. You're going to even think about quitting and all kinds of terrible things. And then the second year, you're going to be so poor, you won't even have enough money to buy a suit to bury somebody in or marry somebody. And then you're going to have all the, and I would have said, no way, God, you can have that. No way. You know? We want explanations, but really I think if God gave us the explanation, we'd freak out. You know what I'm saying? And because of his love, I think there's some things he hides from us. So here's Tony just and Cindy just hungry for God, and God begins to work in their life, but all began with an experience. I mean, I don't know if this was the first time, but I remember one of the first Sunday nights that they came, and the Holy Spirit just wrecked them in a good way. I mean, just completely. It was one of those burning bush experiences. Anybody have any encounters like that? You know, he's like, I was never the same again after this moment. And so this is Moses. He's hiding on the backside of a desert, settling for just sheep herding, even though God had called him to be a leader of a whole nation. I say, well, that's a sorry life. Well, I have to tell you something. Don't despise those moments on the backside of a wilderness. Amen. Some of us are waiting to step into our position. Oh, listen to me. Listen. Be very careful for demanding your position. Amen. I mean, we're wanting our position. Give me my position. I want my position. I want my position. Well, can I tell you something? If you get your position without the peace of God and without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, your position will destroy you. Amen? So here's Moses on the backside of the desert being faithful to tend the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro. That's kind of an oddity to me, because here he is having to learn. I mean, guys know sometimes the parent-in-laws can be hard to work with and serve. You know what I'm talking about. Not mine. I've got the best on the planet. But anyway, so here's Moses submitting himself under authority underneath his father-in-law, and he's learning how to be obedient and submitted to authority. And God saw that. You know, it also reminds me of David, doesn't it? Just faithful. Out in the sheep fields, just faithful, just faithful, just faithful. You may be saying, well, why is God, there's sometimes, honestly, just as a pastor, it's like, why, God, have you chosen me for this time? Why now? And he'll bring back to my mind years ago of even just serving a man or woman of God. I mean, I could just go on with story after story of even when it's hard. I mean, difficult, hard. I'll just give you one case in point. I remember years ago, as I was a youth pastor, the church that I was serving in, it was kind of going some through some troubled times, and God was blessing the youth group despite some of the things that was going on in the church. And the pastor had basically turned the Sunday night service over to me, and God was beginning to bless that, and so much that the people started taking notice, to where the Sunday night crowd was starting to outgrow the Sunday morning crowd. And I began to have some of the people in the church, I mean, some of the board members of the church, they called them a pastoral council then, come up to me and say, you know, Chris, we've already been talking and we've got plans to where the pastor is probably going to be leaving soon, wink, wink, and we want to just let you just move right on up into that position. And it would have been so easy for me to give into my flesh. This is my moment of promotion. This is my moment of taking up my position. This is my fast track into God's will for me. But it was a trap of the enemy. That's right. It would have destroyed me. It's like, Chris, how can you know that? Because there was pride lurking in my heart. I would have thought, I have made myself who I am. I deserve it. We don't deserve anything. You know what we deserve? Hell. That's what we deserve. Amen. The moment you find yourself saying, I deserve, you better watch out. That sounds just like the devil. Amen. And so I remember, were we dating then? Jennifer, I can't remember if we were either dating or engaged. I can't remember, because every moment with you is just awesome. Yeah. Okay, I won't go into that story. I remember talking to Pastor Jennifer, and I was like, oh, this is what they're saying. And these were secret meetings, you know, after church. And guys, there's nothing of God in secret. Amen? And I was like, this is what they're saying. This is what they're doing. And she was like, well, what are you going to do? And after I prayed, I knew what I had to do. The Bible says, flee from temptation. Amen? Run as fast as you can away from it. The very next Sunday, I walked into the pastor's office and I said, I'm turning in my resignation. He had no idea why. But I knew that if I didn't run away from this trap, it would destroy what God had for me in the future. Now, why am I saying this? Because I believe I'm talking to some people right now to where you're going to be tested about your purpose. You can either take what you see like an easy, quick shortcut, or you can stay true to the faithfulness of God, and you can work the sheep in the wilderness as long as God has called you to. Now, I would love to tell you that I left that church and stepped right into blessing and prosperity, but can I tell you the truth? I left that church and I couldn't find a job, so help me God. I could not. I've never had a problem working and getting a job somewhere. I've never, until I moved to Tallahassee. And nobody would hire me. They were either saying, you're too educated, you're too qualified, or we don't know your mama and your daddy. And I was like, you know what I'm talking about. And I could not do it. So I had, and you know, there was times I was mad at God, because I was having to cut grass just to make enough money to keep the lights on and things like that, and to still feel like a man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just important for us guys a lot of times to work and provide. And so I was cutting, I'm cutting grass, and I'm stomping in the ground saying, God, I did the right thing, and here I am suffering. Anybody, am I preaching to anybody tonight? I don't know why God took me here, but I just need to say it. Because I feel like that God is about to give us a purpose and a dream that's going to be so amazing that we've got to stay humble and hungry. Amen? Come on, somebody. Humble and hungry. And let the Lord promote us. And we dare not touch God's anointed. And it would be really easy for us as a church to start sensing and seeing God's promotion on our life, to start getting critical of other pastors and other churches. But we will not do that here. Amen? We're going to stay humble and hungry and let God promote us in due season. Right? Because God does not ever promote you by tearing others down. That's not the heart of the Father. And that's what Moses understood as he was learning in the wilderness. You see, he tried to enforce it in his own way. You know the story in chapter 2. He knew that God, I believe, honestly, he knew down inside of him that God had called him to liberate his people. He knew that he was a Hebrew, even though he was living as a prince of Egypt. And in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us he sees one of Pharaoh's soldiers beating one of his Hebrew brothers. And what does Moses do? He takes issues in his own hands. Oh, my goodness. That's the start of a terrible, terrible story right there, isn't it? I'm going to take this issue in my own hands. I'm going to do something about it. You better watch out when you take any issue in your own hands. He took the issue in his own hands, and the Bible says that he looked this way and he looked that way, and he struck down the Egyptian. When he thought nobody was watching, but there's always somebody watching. Listen to me, dads especially. Those little eyes especially are watching us, aren't they? There's always somebody watching us. And the Bible says that Moses tried to hide the body in the sand, cover it up, and go about his business. But someone found him out and said, Moses, we saw what you did. And Moses ran to the wilderness, trying to escape the guilt and the shame that he was facing. And so we pick up with Moses' story when he is in the wilderness. Now watch this. This isn't a day later after killing the Egyptian. This isn't a week later. This isn't a month later. This is not even a year later. It is 40 years later. 40 years later until God speaks to Moses again. We get upset if it was 1 hour. Come on, somebody. 40 years. And it isn't like that there hasn't been more opportunities. I mean, Moses is constantly in the wilderness tending his sheep. God could have at any moment lit the bush on fire and had the encounter. It was just 40 years, and we get so upset that God is not on our schedule. God is never on our schedule. He has his perfect schedule. I say, well, that's rough, Pastor. I believe I'm talking to some more mature people tonight. Am I speaking to the right crowd? So we've got to understand that it is God's schedule and it is God's movement. But when God moves, we better grab hold of it. The Bible says that when Moses saw the bush burning but was not consumed, he said to himself, let me turn aside and see what's going on. Guys, listen to me. We are a blessed church. We are a blessed people. God is setting people's lives on fire for the goodness of his gospel. He is transforming whole families. It's easy to see that in such constant state as we see it here and get used to it. And say, oh, it's just another burning bush, and keep going on about our business. When God is saying, if you'll turn aside, I'll use it to build your faith to show you more. How many of you guys want to just settle for burning bushes in the wilderness? Or how many of you guys want to move forward into leading the whole generation out of slavery into prosperity? Amen? I mean, I've just been a part of churches where there's been a move of God come in, and all we do is we celebrate the burning bush instead of understanding it's an encounter to reveal our purpose and our destiny. God is always up to more than what you think he is. Always. Can I say that one more time? God is always up to more than what you think he is. Always. His plans are bigger than you can even think or imagine. So Moses says, let me turn aside and see what this is about. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord, most scholars agree with me by saying that this is no ordinary angel, that this is really the representation of Jesus Christ himself. In the bush, speaking to Moses, and the bush is consumed with fire. This is no ordinary fire. This isn't like the bonfire that you can build at your home. This is the Shekinah glory of God. The presence of God coming down and meeting with man. This is the first time that I can find in Scripture the fire of God coming down. Spirit of God awakening purpose and destiny inside of a man who was a fugitive. What's amazing to me is the person that God uses in this. Moses was just kind of an adopted prince of Egypt and was a runaway fugitive. But God says, I'll use him. That's why God has chosen this church, because y'all are a bunch of fugitives. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, yes, you're right, brother. Yes, amen. Because God loves to choose the foolish things like me to confound the wise. Amen? That's the type of people God is choosing. Moses has this encounter with God that radically transforms him, and we're going to talk about this more next week, but starts a fire and a hunger inside of him that he can't settle with. The first thing that I want you to understand is that Moses' cult was not just his purpose, not just an excitement about a possibility of a future, but Moses cult the very heart of God. Because I'm going to say it so many times in this series, but revival is all about the reviver. That's what revival is about. It's about Jesus. It's about his heart. It's about his passion. It's about his love for you and his faithfulness to his promise and his word. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ that sets the captives free. It's about a Holy Spirit that has come to awaken his church. Revival is about a reviver. It's not, we talk a lot about the miracles and the salvations, and we should give glory to God about those things. But all of those things point to a person.
Right.
Amen. That's why we've got to catch something like Moses caught. He didn't just catch God has a plan for me. He caught the very heart of God. Because plans will not give you perseverance. Heart and passion will give you perseverance. Amen? There's been so many times I wasn't just about to quit. I was quitting. I had quit. It's just you didn't know it, and because there was more time in between Monday and Sunday for me to rehire myself. You know what I'm talking about? I'm done. Forget this. I'll go be a delivery man somewhere. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'll drive a truck. I'm be by myself and put on my worship music. I mean, we make quitting sound so spiritual, don't we? I mean, I'll put on my worship music and I'll just get close to Jesus. And that's, I was trying to make it spiritual sounding. But I was quitting. And it wasn't a new plan that God gave me that made me jump back in the boat with Jesus. It was a passion and a fire that he put in my heart. Amen? Oh, my goodness. So many times we're like, God, if you'll just show me a plan, if you'll just show me a plan. He's like, I'm giving you my heart. That's what you need right now. Amen? If you'll just show me who I'm supposed to this and what job I'm supposed to do or who I'm supposed to marry. And God is saying, get my heart first.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
Get my heart first.
Right.
Revival is about a reviver. And that's why next week I want you guys to come out next Sunday night. Bring somebody with you. Because the first thing we're going to look at about this issue in stewarding revival is we got to get close to the I am. We got to get close to him, church. Say, well, don't you think we're kind of close to him? We're kind of passionate here. Worship's kind of crazy and awesome. We're not close enough. I'm not close enough. There's more. It's not enough just to see a burning bush and hide my face. Lord, show me your glory.
Right.
And unless you go, I'm not going.
Right.
I don't want revival if it means leaving the reviver.
Right.
Amen. We got to get close to him. We're going to see the invitation is from him. Did you know that you serve a God that wants to be close to you? Think about that for a moment. Messed up, foolish in my sin. When I promised him I'll never hurt him again, I hurt him again. And he says, you know what? I want to be close to you. I'll just be honest with you. If I was God, I would have divorced me years ago. Amen? But God is saying, I want you. I want you. And his want for me stirs up a want for him. His want for me stirs up a want for him. And he's calling us closer. Moses, Moses. He's calling your name. He's calling your name. Man, I just feel his presence right now. He's calling your name. Come closer, 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 closer. And you're saying right now, God, you don't know. I've hidden some things underneath the sand. And God says, I already knew it when you did it. But yet I'm calling you closer. Closer, closer, closer. We have to answer his call, church. We have to answer his call. The next week, after next week, we're going to look at the second part of stewarding this revival. And I hope that you just kind of write these things down because we're going to go into them deeper. But we've got to depend on what God can do, not what we can do. We got to depend on his miracles. If we had enough money in the budget before we rented the high school, we would have never rented it for the crusade. Are you following me? It was, I told you before, and you think I'm exaggerating, but what we did was big church thing. We have small church budget. We pray about having coffee next Sunday. Come on, somebody, amen. But God put it in our hearts, and we begin to pray. Oh, I can't stand any longer living on the safety of the shore and thinking, oh, well, we got enough money and we can be safe. Oh, would God wake up his church from living in safety and get out in the water to push out into the deeper things and to believe that God can do greater things, that God can raise enough money to rent a high school auditorium. And if God can do that, he can raise enough money to rent the football stadium. Amen? Am I preaching to the right crowd tonight? I just got to know. Just tell me again. Yes? We got to depend on what God can do. Somebody asked me from time to time, before you go and you pray for someone, how do you know for sure that God wants to touch them? And I'm like, a thought occurred to me. I never know. I never know if for sure if God's going to heal that person. But God tells me to go pray, lay hands on the sick. It's up to him to do the next part. But can I tell you something? God doesn't do the next part because he's waiting for you to do your part. God, why aren't you healing people any longer? Because you're not praying for people. Amen? God, why aren't you setting people free? Because you're not inviting a drug addict into the church any longer. Amen? God, why aren't you transforming a city? Because you're not walking around sharing the love of Jesus. Right? Oh, I mean, goodness gracious. We've got to depend on what God can do. Number three, and that just leads into this, we've got to go to the least of these. The least of these. The ones who need it the most. The ones who need it the most. It's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick. What God is going to do in this community is not for everyone. And we have to be okay with that. Why won't everybody, you know, I had somebody ask me, I don't understand. Why didn't other churches jump on board? Why don't? And I was like, well, it wasn't for them. And I don't say that in a prideful way. But what God is doing is reaching the lost and the hurting and the broken. Amen? We've got to stay focused on that. God called Moses to free the slaves. Are you following me? He says, I've heard my people's groanings. The problem why God isn't sending revival everywhere is because the church is so fat on themselves, they're not groaning out for more. Did I say that? I would much rather preach to folks who had been out drinking the night before and full of cigarette smoke than people put together with perfume and nice little hats that don't think they need a touch from God today. Can I tell you what God did this past week? And honestly, I was kind of upset about it at first because, I mean, I was wanting kind of just like nothing to do week, you know, after the crusade. But unfortunately, we had two deaths in the church, and I'm so thankful for you guys that helped step up to the plate and serve those families, those precious families. And I was like, God, give me the right heart for this, and he did. I mean, the loss that these people are suffering was awful. And our God is a God of all comfort, amen? And that's his heart. You know, you can never be closer to Jesus than just being his arms and his hands and his heart for people who are suffering. That's who he is. And so I'm at this funeral, and I'm preaching and preaching the comfort of Jesus Christ, and it's just in me. You know, I mean, it's just in me to just like, okay, all right, look, I want to see people saved at a funeral. I want to see people saved at a funeral. And this was not the typical church crowd. Can I just say that? And I was quite okay. I'm at home with that. You take me to like an, I mean, I'm just going to say it. This is just us in this room. But you take me to like an alliance, like something like everywhere I have to wear a suit or something like that. I'm as uncomfortable as a stuck pig. You know, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, you know, if I'm not talking to people about their addictions or something they're needing healing from, I don't know what to do with you. You know, I'm like, I'm so into this now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so, I'm right at home with these people, and I'm preaching the gospel, and at the end, I'm just really laying out the good news of Jesus in the midst of this sorrow and sadness. And I was like, all right, everybody, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just, I mean, I got to know, because there's some people in this room, you need to get your heart right with Jesus, because, you know, you need to get, I'm not preaching to the dead today, I'm preaching to the living. You need to get your heart right with Jesus. I want you to raise your hands right now. You need to get your heart right with Jesus. And seven people in that funeral raised their hands. Seven people. Come on, give Jesus praise. So we go to the least of these. And number four, we have to suffer for him if necessary. Say, yeah, that's the week I'm going to miss right there, Pastor. You just fill me in on that one. I'm telling you don't want to miss that week. Because you're going to suffer in this life anyway, you might as well learn how to do it for the cause of Christ. And learn how to do it well to where you're greater on the other side of it. In Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of Moses. Let me just find this earlier. It just shouted in my spirit. Verse 26, it said, let me start at verse 25. Talking about Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to a reward. What that means is Moses chose to leave the pleasures of Pharaoh's life to be counted as one of God's people. Looking into the future about the suffering for Christ and choosing to fellowship with Christ even in that suffering. Now, that tells us somewhere in Moses' life, even though it's not recorded much in Exodus, somewhere in Moses' life, he had the option of going back to Pharaoh's palace or staying with the Hebrew people. You ever thought about that? Moses had an opportunity where he was going to say, you know what? I'm tired of this suffering for God. I'm going to go out back in the world. Anybody ever try that before? You might have a little bit more worldly comfort, but you're going to be miserable in your heart. The Bible says in Hebrews here, for he looked to his reward. The Greek word is apoplebo, if I can say this right. And it's a graphic word containing two words together, actually mean away from and look to. It literally means that he didn't just look to the reward that God had for him. He literally had to turn his head away from the pleasures of this world to look to. Anybody have double vision? That's a bad thing. You're looking to the world, you're looking to God. You're looking to the world, you're looking to God. You're looking to the world, you're looking to God. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And you keep wondering why you feel stuck. And you've not looked away from the world and looked to God. God tells Moses, take off your sandals, for what you're standing on is holy ground. And God is speaking to us tonight. Take off your sandals. You know what that means? It means get rid of the old way of walking. Get rid of it. I can't give you new shoes if you won't get rid of your old ones. Amen? Get rid of them. One scholar I read in a commentary said that even though it was 40 years later from leaving Pharaoh's palace, this very could well be, because they would repair and repair old sandals, this very well be could be a pair of sandals that he was given in Pharaoh's court. They were good. You couldn't just get these anywhere. But here's God telling Moses, Moses, if you want what I have for you, you've got to take off what this world has given you. You got to get rid of it. Get rid of it. I want you to trust in me. And that leads us to the last thing, is rest and rejoice in him. This move of God is God's move, not ours. What God is doing, even in your own heart, is God's move, not yours. How many guys are thankful you don't have to drum it up? Amen? You don't even have to sustain it. All you need to do is learn from the wisdom of God how to steward it. That never-ending fountain that never runs dry, you don't have to pump it to make sure it flows. You just need to make sure you keep it clear. Amen? And keep going back to the source. But you're not the source. God wants to transform this whole community. But we're not the source of transformation. We're just a vessel. Why is that so liberating? Because you understand and you're able to rest and rejoice in what God is doing. So many times people say, you know what? Well, it was a tremendous week last week. What are we going to do this week? And I'm like, what do you mean, what are we going to do this week? We didn't do what happened last week. Amen? I'm not under the pressure of, you know, making sure that this service is better than last service. That's ridiculous. Because I'm not the source of it. Amen? God is the source. All I want to do is be more hungry today than I was yesterday. And it's up to God to do the rest. So you rest and you rejoice because it's his move. Let me close with this, guys. Everybody stand on your feet if you don't mind. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The people of God were at a place to where it wasn't a bush that was burning any longer. It was people on fire for God. The day of Pentecost came. And those in the upper room were set on fire by God. And a whole crowd said, let us turn aside and see what's going on. Some said, they're drunk. Others were mocking this fire, but some got hungry for more themselves. And so Peter began to preach. And look at what he says to those people who had turned aside to see. He said, so repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, and regret past sins, and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that what? The times of refreshing. That's revival. How many guys believe that's come? So that the times of refreshing may come from where? It's from him. Watch this. Restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like a wilderness. Sounds like a wilderness. That sounds like the Spirit of God coming and invading a wilderness. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. And I asked the lights to be cut down again. And Kyle, if you don't mind, come up here. But I just sense so strong in my spirit right now, that there's somebody, someone's in this room tonight. You feel stuck in a wilderness. You feel forgotten about. You feel like God has actually put you in this wilderness and forgotten about you. It may not have been 40 years, but it might as well have been to you. What's happened? Where's God at now? But I just sense the Spirit of God coming down right now. And He's setting my heart on fire. And His fire is in this room tonight for you to turn aside and see that God's not done yet. He's only just begun. Would you repent? Would you change the way that you've been thinking? Some of us in this room, we've been following after God, but if we were honest with ourselves, we're not as passionate as we used to be. We used to be right on the heels of Jesus, but now we've kind of pulled back and let the worries and cares of life pull us back. We can be honest with ourselves. We would kind of hang our hat on what God did last week, and we would be like, okay, well, I'm just going to take a break spiritually. Listen to me. You can take a vacation from the cares of life, but you never take a vacation from God. We need Him. He's the bread of life. And if you stop eating the bread of life, you'll go back to the poison of this world. And if you was honest with yourself, you would say, Pastor Chris, I'm not as passionate as I used to be. And you're beating yourself up right now, but yet God is not beating you up. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He's saying, Moses, Moses, come close. Come close. I haven't left you. I'm right here. Turn back. Turn aside and see. There's somebody right now in this room. God has a calling on your life.